You are about to enter the pop, pulp, and subcultural minds of several individuals. What may leak into the ether can sometimes be too strange, too confusing for the average human mind. When nerds assemble. Hi, and welcome to episode 4 of Nerds Assemble. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
I'm not saying what I've said for the last 3 episodes. We've got a lot of fabulous things to discuss this week, but sadly this episode starts with a slight bit of sad news because Neil Armstrong passed away on Saturday. And this year was actually the 43rd anniversary of his walk on the moon. And I just, you know, considering that the amount of inspiration the NASA program for the Apollo missions actually gave to science fiction over the years.
And it's conspiracy theories.
And conspiracy theories. and a really bad film by a certain Mr. Bay, giant robot. You know, I think it is quite sad that he's passed away.
What do you mean bad?
Bad, terrible, dire, awful.
Admittedly though, the third Transformers film was better than the second, but only
really?
Because it was a bit easier to figure out which robots were which. It was slightly easier. In the second one, I found it got a bit too overwhelming as to who was what, doing what. I think the sand got in the way a little too much.
And
can I just say, I'm with Paul on this one.
What? What's that? Retroid. The third one's awful.
Did I make a point?
Yeah. to be entirely fair, when it comes to the Transformers films, I'm a fan. I was a kid watching, you know, the original 80s cartoon. Mm. And I had the toys, which on the whole were crap. But that's beside the point. These three films are sci-fi special effects reels. They are giant robots blowing shit up. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to redeem them. They are special effects. They are terrible.
It wouldn't even be so bad if they actually used some of the elements from the TV series, like the kind of metal tracks and the rotating of the thingies to go kind of between the storylines of the Decepticons versus the Autobots.
And it's at this point that I need to interject that we are not in any way implying that Neil Armstrong is solely responsible for the Krakoa Fest that is the Michael Bay Transformers. He is not responsible for this, and this is not why he died on Saturday.
There's only one person to blame for that, and that's Michael Bay.
Who should die of shame? Probably in a big shame explosion.
Okay, moving on.
Neil Armstrong, absolutely awesome individual.
Yeah. You've opened up a can of worms here, haven't you?
Ironically, very down to earth, if you see what I did there. And he's an inspiration for a lot of people who have got into science, sci-fi. Just an inspiration to a lot of people, and it's a pity to see him go.
Absolutely. It is, to be fair. He was a great icon of the last century, and he's going to be sorely missed.
Very much so. Okay, going from one space traveller to another.
And tangent traveller.
So Doctor Who starts this week on Saturday.
Can't BBC bloody wait.
At 7:20 p.m.
Yeah.
And Paul and I are going to be watching it when it's being aired.
Why?
Yeah, because his parents are getting married finally.
I would have thought they'd reschedule for this.
I know. See, considering how big a Who fan Paul's dad is, you'd think they'd reschedule, but no.
It's all right. We'll keep you up to date on Twitter.
I'll tell you everything that happens as it goes.
No. Retroid will keep you in the loop. It's not an issue.
Yeah. I'm going to be turning the Wi-Fi and 3G connections off with your phone.
We've got carrier pigeons.
No!
We'll get it there somehow.
But no, it's actually looking like it could be quite good. So that's they're starting off the series with Asylum of the Daleks.
Which is bound to enrage the Space Daily Mail.
Yeah, of course. I was reading up on it, and I think it was the SFX were saying that it's got a couple of tributes going on to previous episodes, including Planet of the Daleks and Death to the Daleks, plus quite a few other kind of little references here and there. But I can't. Which is Planet of the Daleks the first Daleks one? Or not?
No.
No.
Planet of the Daleks was... I think that was with Patrick Troughton, the second.
Because I've only watched two of the early Daleks episodes. Like, the one where... Well, the one where they were initially introduced in, like, the original stuff. And the one where it's kind of like a radiation... drowned planet or something, and it looked a bit 70s, and people didn't seem to understand what radiation was doing, so it must have been 70s. But I remember it was just random stuff which Paul's dad just kind of bunged on the telly once. But yeah, I'm liking the look of it. I'm going to be bitterly annoyed if anyone spoils it for me. Thankfully, though, the people that were likely to communicate with in person about this are all going to be at the wedding. Everyone will be equally suffering and unlikely to be in a position to spoil it.
Just to clear that up, Planet of the Daleks was actually of John Pertwee.
Okay.
Oh.
10th season. So, there you go.
Probably one of my least favourite Who's.
Oh, leave the dandy alone.
Well, it wasn't his fault. It was because of the being dumped on Earth and things.
Yeah, no, it did go in a different direction, to be fair.
Yeah.
Paul, do you have a defence for your parents' wedding plans or not?
Sorry? What do you mean?
Do you have a defence for your parents' wedding plans at all or not?
Yeah, why would they do this?
Order in court.
No idea. But can I just say that I dislike the way they're going with the series, basically doing it kind of half series at a time.
Mm.
You know, they're kind of showing like five episodes and then, you know, wait for weeks or months and then it'll be another five. And I don't really like...
It's basically Doctor Who month for September, isn't it?
Mm, exactly.
It's ending.
I kind of understand when American TV series have the break when they're the 20 sort of plus episode long series. I kind of get that because it's a long hog to film all that in a go anyway. So having that break kind of helps. Plus it gives a chance to take a risk on other things that are shorter.
Yeah, and I was just going to say because they're often filmed so very close to broadcast within weeks, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just seems kind of... infuriating that they're having a break. I mean, it's what 12, 13 episodes for Doctor Who, series.
Yeah,
that's not on.
does that count the Christmas episode?
This season will be counting that though, won't it? Because it ends in September. Then you've got to wait till Christmas for the Christmas special. Then it carries on after Christmas, I believe.
Yeah, but when after Christmas?
The Christmas special's in the middle of the season.
Yeah. It's all right. The money's going wisely on EastEnders and other silly stuff. Don't worry about it.
I have heard that there are controlling powers at the BBC that don't like sci-fi very much, and these may or may not be persons responsible for drama at the BBC.
That's one of the reasons it got moved away in the... Was it 80s? Late 80s?
Yeah.
Sylvester McCoy? That is actually one of the reasons, because the new controller of the BBC did not like sci-fi and Doctor Who.
Well, they basically ran it into the ground. They kept saying, oh, not enough people are watching it, so they'd cut the budget, which made it look worse. And then they said, oh, see, less people are watching it.
And they'd stick it on, instead of being at tea time, like everybody used to, they used to stick it on against Coronation Street and other bits.
Yeah. It reminds me a bit about like Fox with its dealings with some of its sci-fi shows, like Firefly, the way it kept on kind of moving it and actually airing it out of order and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just silly sometimes. I mean, it has been rebooted. It's been rebooted well. Just let us watch what we want to watch.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to watch EastEnders.
It's also popular and it sells well abroad, so it's not as if it's not bringing in the cash.
Absolutely. The Americans especially like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's got a proper cult following over there, so yeah.
And there's many branches of it as well, isn't there? Because there's the books, there's the audio books, there's the audio plays that are doing really well, and it's just phenomenal.
We won't mention the games.
No, that's probably for the best.
PS3 one, yeah. I was tempted, and then I was like...
Don't.
I remember the Amstrad one, many years ago. The Amstrad CPC 464 one with Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, was that the platformy one?
Yeah, the platformy one where his umbrella seemed to take out Daleks, which I could never get my head around.
Yeah, that was that wasn't fantastic at the time.
If they did make a Doctor Who game, how would it be well done?
Using the time travel as a part of the narrative, so you could do things in one period and that could affect others.
So, I mean, you could have your kind of helping yourself, like in Time Splitters 3. That's actually quite fun that I found.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'd have to have some sort of puzzle mechanic to it, like logic puzzles and that sort of thing as well.
Of course, or it could be hugely stealth-based, because quite frankly, they're not meant to take on enemies head-on most of the time in here, because they don't have the resources and weaponry to do it. So if it was if there was a huge amount of stealth, I think that could work.
I'm actually thinking of a particularly British Day of the Tentacle.
Yes. That would be really cool.
I mean, that had time travel and everything in it as well. So
you had the quirky humour and a bit of I like that idea.
Yeah.
I think we need to package that idea up into a pitch and then quickly get that up to whoever's in control of making games for the BBC and go, you know you want to make this, and pay us for telling you that you want to make this.
And then they can completely ignore it and do some
But so long as we get paid, it'll be fine.
We can do Doctor Who top trumps again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
Jesus.
In other screen-based news, Uncharted lost its director. Who was, I think it was Neil, but how do you pronounce, is it Berger? Neil Berger or Neil Berger?
yes. Berger.
It's funny how a lot of kind of games, when they're trying to kind of make, films of them, they don't quite, that it's like Halo, and I think Gears of War, was that meant to be put into a film as well?
Yes, it was.
But yeah. I'm just hoping I'm just hoping that Mass Effect does actually get off the ground, because I would like to see that on the big screen.
But yeah, definitely. But people should be worried about Uncharted, because it's Marianne and Cormac Wibberley, if that's how you pronounce it, who are kind of rewriting the script. Those two were mainly responsible for the National Treasure films.
Which is crap.
Beware. We should beware this film if it's their script that finally gets through. The first one's okay.
The first one, I saw it in the cinema and it was okay, but I was absolutely staggered that they did a second.
Yeah. The second one's just... But it has potential to work. It's basically, a modern Indiana Jones, like everything like this. it could work. It's clearly going to, because the games are so story based anyway.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They've got the narrative there, haven't they? They actually want to use the narrative.
It's not like trying to adapt Street Fighter into a film. There's an actual proper story there.
God, you've reminded me of the Street Fighter film.
I'm sorry. It had to.
God.
I was actually thinking Super Mario Brothers.
Guilty pleasure, watching the Mortal Kombat films.
I actually liked the first one. The second one was absolute dire and it should never have been released. Was there a third one?
No, there wasn't. There was
The TV series, Congress, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was a TV series called Congress, where everybody suddenly had little shanty huts that they lived in, and they all lived in the same realm, and it was just
what?
Really... Oh.
Yeah. Mortal Holiday Village. Mortal Woodlands.
Followed,
cartoon series.
I've not watched cartoon series, actually.
Oh, that wasn't too bad.
So they made a cartoon series for an 18 rated game series.
Yeah. Kung Fu and everything.
Mind you, I mean, there was a cartoon series for, what's me call it?
Starship, was a Robocop.
Starship Troopers.
That wasn't bad.
And there was Robocop TV cartoon series.
So obviously, people like making cartoon series of things that get 18 ratings. It's like they want to convince... No, not even convince. They want to just trick children into watching the 18-rated stuff.
I like Robocop. It is a good cartoon. Let's see this room. Oh, God, his hands come off.
Surely.
That was on at the same time as James Bond Jr. or something as well, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
There was a James Bond Jr. I missed that.
Yeah. And the reboot the reboot of He-Man, Masters of the Universe, where he had no muscles and he was suddenly dressed in blue. And
no, that didn't exist. That didn't exist.
Oh, yes, it did.
No, it didn't. I'm redefining reality right now. It didn't exist. And there is no Michael Bay while I'm at it.
I think we should be... Wait, as long as Michael Bay doesn't get his hands on Uncharted, we should be fine. Right?
And Nathan Fillion is in the lead role.
Well, I think we've got an upcoming apocalypse here. I reckon that sometime in the future, Michael Bay will join forces with Uwe Boll and make the worst film in history.
And but it has lots of explosions.
Surely they'd just be competing with themselves.
What, GoBots?
I saw the... Did someone mention GoBots?
Yeah, I said they could call it GoBots.
There was a film? I saw that in the cinema.
What, GoBots?
Yes, there was a GoBots film. It was crap.
Oh, I remember now. GoBots, the ones that turned into rock, where they just found this other planet of robots that turned into big rocks and they could bowl you over, basically. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. About.
Even as a youngling, I thought it was really bad.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
It's like, oh dear.
Yeah. I was hoping it would be in the same caliber as the Transformers 80s movie, which I still have on DVD.
Oh, that was awesome and much better than any of the recent efforts.
I've even got the soundtrack. That's how sad I am.
It's got Leonard Nimoy and, blokey Rosebud.
Orson Welles?
Yes.
Yes, Orson Welles was in it as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he the voice of Unicron?
Yes, he was. Mm. Right.
I think getting back to the Uncharted aspect, I think...
Oh, yes, that.
I think the thing that... I mean, okay, so there's no director at the moment. That's not, you know, a crime, you know? They could wait till the script's actually written properly before getting a director. But I think it's who's writing the script that people need to worry about.
Yes, I can't help but think it's going to be a real dog's dinner.
Also, why do people think Nathan Fillion should be playing... Drake. Why?
Same first name? I don't know.
I just think, especially thanks to Dr. Horrible. I think he's got the right sort of attitude. He's got the right sort of self-narration nature.
I think that he's perhaps a bit too old for the role. Actually,
no. Yeah, he probably is.
It's like when people said he should be playing played Jordan. Green Lantern. Yeah, Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. And I was just like, no, he's too old. It wouldn't work. I mean, was it? Is he in? I can't remember. Is Fillion's in Castle? Isn't he? Is it Castle?
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. I have to say, after seeing some bits of the latest episodes, he is looking a little rounder.
Yeah, he is.
And there's, you know, he's looking a bit old in the face. Maybe he could play... I mean, wait, what happens with Drake's dad in the games?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Could be his dad. But, maybe.
To be fair, though, if Harrison Ford can play Indiana Jones and still use a rip at, what, 65, 70? I'm sure Nathan will be fine.
Yeah, but it's the fact that... But, yeah, but then... Harrison was playing an older Indy anyway. He was meant to be an older Indy, whereas the character of Drake is somebody who's, is he in his 20s?
Yeah, late 20s.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's nothing wrong with having people in films who are in their 30s.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying is that if the role's meant to be around a certain age, I prefer it when they have actors that are around that certain age.
It always annoyed
me when they had Americans that productions have had like 20 somethings playing teenagers and
that's always wound me up.
You on about Glee now?
No, I'm just thinking for everything from like
in general
Buffy onwards, you know.
Yes, I was thinking specifically of Buffy there.
Well, I mean, to be honest, chances are the people that play the main cast in Saved by the Bell in the 80s probably weren't, you know.
No, they were in this, they were just in their teens when they're 16 or something. I think they were quite...
What, the actors?
Yeah, they were teens. Yeah.
Okay.
And never did anything else.
Well, no, the guy that played Zach, isn't he in that one with Breckin Meyer at the moment about the two lawyers?
Oh, that's on E4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not caught it, but...
Banks and something. Okay.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yep.
Became a porn star, didn't he?
What?
Yeah, yes.
What?
Dustin Diamond became a porn star.
Did you say Screech?
Yeah.
There's wow! They called him that.
Oh, that's just... Oh,
oh God. I think
I want to talk about Ben Affleck now and Justice League again. I think that's what I want to do.
I won't say it, but thanks to me... If I don't get this out of my head, it's just going to fester.
Oh.
I'm not going to complete it, but Saved by the Bell.
Justice League.
See, there we go.
There's been further development since our speculation. Affleck has come out and said, no, I'm not doing it, or precisely. And there was a bit of a jibe at entertainment media in this quote, but I've kind of edited it out because it was quite long otherwise. I'm not working on the Justice League. Justice League sounds really exciting, but it's not something I'm working on. So I'm pretty certain now he's not working on the Justice League of America film. Wow.
Probably not.
He was quite... The jibe he made, especially the stuff saying, was it like media publications or... entertainment websites taking it all out of proportion, it was quite a nasty jibe actually. So I think it was pretty pissed that people went crazy suggesting he was gonna do it. But now somebody's trying to start a rumor, as far as I can tell, that the Wachowski brothers could be contenders to direct.
That'd be pretty cool,
because they're, I think it's at WB, are putting out their adaptation of Cloud Atlas, and I actually finally got around to watching a trailer for that earlier. I could see how they might be in WB's good graces at the moment, but then the Wachowskis have got a lot on their plate, so, you know, it's not something they'd be getting around to anytime soon.
They have looked at the cartoons, doing a cartoon film before, haven't they? They have looked at toying with it, like they were in discussions to do a Plastic Man movie for a while, weren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, because they're strictly kind of Warner Brothers and Village Roadshows, and obviously Warner are the visual rights lot for DC. I mean, they pretty much own DC, I think, these days. So, yeah, it would make sense for to have somebody who's worked in-house so many times before do a Justice League film, rather than get Affleck in all of a sudden, who I don't think's ever really worked on Warner Brothers projects.
No, I don't think yet.
I think there's one good thing if it was the Wachowski brothers that did it. Is that basically, I think that they would go a bit darker than probably Avengers Assemble.
I don't know. Speed Racer?
Speed Racer. It had some twisted moments in it, though.
Yeah.
Some little bits that just felt like, ooh.
Yeah.
Dark and nasty. They can... if they're told to make family friendly, they find ways. They find ways.
Yeah.
To sneak things in.
But then, of course, there's Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions, which I still haven't forgiven them for.
To be honest, I liked Reloaded.
Me too.
I actually like the trilogy, but none of them stood up to the original actual Matrix.
Mm.
Yeah. Does that mean Hugo Weaving would be one of the villains in the film then?
Probably, because he's in Cloud Atlas by the looks of things. Did you see Cloud Atlas trailer, Paul?
Which
Paul?
Paul B.
Yeah.
there you go. Yes, I did. How about you, Cookie?
No, I have not yet, but I have read a little bit about it, and it does seem quite interesting. So I will be checking that out at some point, definitely.
So I haven't seen it. So.
But I don't understand. One of the things that I don't get is why people keep speculating about directors for this when there's not a script kind of battened down yet. You know, there's not something that...
It's a hype machine.
As far as I'm concerned, it's kind of left over from auteur theory, with the whole kind of concept that, you know, basically the success of a film is hinged on like this one kind of talent, as it were, and usually that was the director.
Mm.
So, you know, it's because it was another Hitchcock film that, you know, became a success. It's not the fact that, you know, it was a good film or it was a bad film or it was that overhyped. It was the fact that Hitchcock was attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, a director can make a good film out of a poor script.
Mm.
Yes.
But they can't just invent the quality.
Yeah.
No. I mean, if you've got a poor script, it's going to be a poor script no matter what. And there's only so much substance can be hung on those bones. So, yeah, can we have a good script first, please?
Mm. Actually, you know what? Forget having a good script first. Could we have several proper introductory films for the characters so that we don't have to have, because they're not going to follow like Nolan's Batman or anything, and apparently probably not the I can't remember, did we determine whether or not it'd follow Man of Steel?
It's going to be totally different apparently.
So it's like you're not going to have all that lovely build up that the Avengers has had, so
I don't understand why they would actually go in that direction, but...
I do not get it.
They obviously know best.
Ha, ha, ha.
All right, let's move from away from Hollywood to the other side of the world. One Australian territory finally has an R18 plus rating being applied to games to sell them.
About damn time.
Admittedly, it's like, I think, the smallest one, which is the Australian Capital Territory. So it accounts for something like, I think I read it was like 1.6%.
Yeah, 1.6% of the population. And considering the population of Australia is very small for the size of the landmass, it's just...
But yeah, hopefully other states will follow. But I mean, because of the fact that they haven't had an R18 plus rating, they've never had a proper Left 4 Dead 2. They've got the German version, which has hardly any gore or anything in it. And they've never had the new Mortal Kombat.
Hey?
They haven't had the new Mortal Kombat game because it was banned.
Well, to be fair to the technicality, they just weren't available for release because they didn't have the correct classification. So they weren't technically banned, seeing as there was no chance of them coming out in their present form.
The one thing that this...
It's idiotic.
The one thing that this will mean, though, is that obviously retailers in that territory are going to be shipping countrywide, aren't they?
Yeah. That's a good point. I suppose if there's any indies sellers in the Australian Capital Territory who have got a good web system set up, I think they might be about to get an influx. But then again, obviously games that have previously been denied classification, now they've got to decide if they're going to resubmit. I think Valve said that they would resubmit Left 4 Dead 2 once Australia had an R18 plus rating.
Cool.
But, I mean, it's depending on, you know, how slow the gears are. Because obviously if it's only one territory that's got it, how keen will Valve be to finally ship a game over there for it?
Depends.
And also, actually, that's a point. Have they actually got the Steam store segmented into territories in for Australia?
That's a good question.
Mm.
Cool, they could make a killing if they have.
Mm. I mean, I'm just thinking there, is it the original Left 4 Dead or is it Left 4 Dead 2
it
as well?
I think the original Left 4 Dead might have made it through. I think it was 2. I mean, considering the fact that 2's got melee weapons, which did make things a lot more graphic, I mean, especially with the chainsaw.
And Left 4 Dead 2 did have more of a dismemberment engine.
Yes.
Where you could shoot bits off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's at least the original Left 4 Dead, which I know just recently became available on Games on Demand on the 360.
Okay.
So it's quite possible that they might not do physical, or they might just say, well, you know, we're doing a budget release, so we'll include those and, you know, we'll divert some copies over into that territory. You know, slap a sticker on it and say R18.
Mm. But then again, I mean, it still would have to be rated by that territory's...
Yeah.
It has to go through a rating process, so it'll have to be resubmitted to the... They have got their own classification board that's a long name.
Yeah, but I just mean that they're ready to go. They don't even have to necessarily ship physical copies there.
Mm.
Just so long as they can actually get, you know, the foot in the door and say, well, it's in this territory, and this territory is in Australia, therefore our item is available in Australia.
I have to say, I've never actually met many... Well, I don't think I've met any Australians online for gaming and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to have, like, an influx of new players for stuff like Left 4 Dead 2.
If they get around to sharing the servers about, obviously, yeah, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Time zone would be an issue there. But...
Yeah, but then again, it's the same when you're playing with the American players on the West Coast. It's a bit of a...
True, but there's some overlap there. There's more of an overlap than... Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to get to our meteor subject for the night, or this week. I'm sure everyone's noticed that there are a lot of remakes being proposed, written, and actually produced and churned out of Hollywood at the moment. In the past week, I've seen that The Rocketeer is being looked at again. That Battlestar, the channel behind remaking Battlestar Galactica, is working on a new Blake 7.
Why?
Universal have passed over Videodrome to somebody, even though it was originally written and directed by David Cronenberg, and I'm assuming the bug has given up a whole bunch of intellectual rights at some point in order for that to be possible, because I can't imagine Cronenberg wanting the film to be remade. And then in our actual cinemas at the moment, you've got Total Recall's out.
Yeah.
And Dread 3D hits UK screens on the 7th of September.
Now, with that, Dread, hooray.
Yeah.
It's not really a remake, though, is it?
It's just the fact that they've revisited the same IP. I mean, when I say remake, it's whenever you go to an old IP and you reimagine it to some extent. I think that's the only good one out of all the ones I've listed that...
Missed out one big British remake that is now being advertised on the telly that's in cinemas in the next couple of weeks, you know.
Ooh.
The Sweeney.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Did the Sweeney ever have a film before?
Yeah. That was
Was it a TV series?
It was a TV series with John Thor and Dennis Waterman. And I used to sit up and watch that with my dad.
Does it get repeated on ITV4 a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought it was that one. Yeah.
So, and it's now... Is it Plan B? And Ray Winston is the lead character.
Oh. What? Plan B? What? Oh, God. I know who he is. I just can't believe it.
And obviously, don't forget, obviously, Robocop's on the way. I think Rocketeer and Videodrome are the two at the moment that really stick for me, because one, I actually rewatched The Rocketeer recently because I gave it to Paul on DVD for his birthday the other month. And then when I heard about Videodrome, I was like, I'm going to rewatch this to be sure if it could actually be remade. And I watched it. I watched it on Friday, and I was like, really? You're going to remake this? And then I saw the description on one site as to where they go. I think it was Deadline described the new version as obviously modernized, using nanotechnology and making it a large-scale sci-fi action thriller. Completely missing the subtlety, if you could call it subtlety, of the original film. And basically, I'm just like... The original film's about a man failing to grasp at reality, with the audience being politely and similarly confused, and the dread of technology taking over people's lives. Okay, maybe you could do that with nanotechnology, but the issues with reality that the film has...
I think in terms of kind of genre, I think surrealist films are probably one of the worst to be remade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Videodrome is definitely a surrealist sci-fi horror.
it's a Cronenberg film.
He wrote and directed it.
There's no logic there. If you're going to do something with nanotechnology and everything like that, do your own.
Yeah. Mm.
Leave Videodrome alone.
But then Universal's been remaking a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. There doesn't seem to be any original IPs around at the moment, does there?
Well, there is. It's just they don't want to invest in it. Which is kind of crazy, because the stuff that they keep remaking quite often is panned. So you'd think they'd figure out that there's maybe a trend. You know.
In Total Recall, I'm actually quite interested in seeing, just to see what it's like, on a mix. I loved the film from the 80s, although Arnold Schwarzenegger did sort of get on my nerves a bit in it. So it'd be interesting to see what Colin Farrell does with it.
I found him a bit too macho for the role, because I've read most of the short story that it's based on, Philip K. Dick's Can Remember It For You Wholesale. I've read most of that. I need to go back to it, really. Well, obviously, it's a short story, but it's a long short story.
Novella? And...
No, because it's in a short story collection, which is about the length of an actual novel. So...
But it could be something like a short stories and novella.
Yeah. But anyway, for all of Philip K. Dick's main male characters, most of them are sort of, male, average.
So everyman.
Everyman. And Arnie was not an everyman. At least Colin Farrell's, a bit more toned down on the muscles. Yep. But having seen a couple of trailers for it, I would say it's nowhere anything like the novel. They've definitely just gone, right, this is the we've looked at the film that Verhoeven made, and now we're going to remake that, but we're not going to look at the original source material at all.
Daft, isn't it? I mean, there were rumours as well going around a little while ago that there was a possibility of a Blade Runner 2 or something daft.
Don't leave
it alone.
Yeah.
Do not touch.
The game was good as a sequel. Has anyone else played it?
Yes, on the PC.
Yes.
Yeah, done by Restored Studios.
Mm.
Yeah, really one of my favourite all-time PC games. That was brilliant. They had the sets from the film and everything down to a T.
Yeah, it's very, very atmospheric, very nicely done.
Yes.
So was this a sequel to the film, but it was a game?
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of.
It actually, you were a different... You weren't Deckard. You were another agent doing the same thing, but your case sort of intertwined with Deckard's a little bit, if I remember rightly, and you sort of ended up in the same sort of places.
It's heartily recommended. It's an old school sort of point and click, but semi-3D using voxels and bitmap backgrounds.
Ooh.
Really good.
Yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah, definitely. They capture the atmosphere brilliantly.
I think we need to explain further why we're not so opposed to Dread 3D coming out next month. as opposed to everything else we're talking about.
I'm favourable about almost everything about it, apart from having 3D at the end of the title.
Yeah.
I saw that and it was just...
I've never actually seen a 3D film yet, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to watch it, to be fair.
I have Tron 2, also Tron Legacy.
Well,
me and Emma have watched quite a few 3D films at the cinema. We're not fantastic fans of the 3D, but if it's in 3D, we'll go see it. Because it's not like we can go home and watch 3D stuff.
And it's not like that we've got a huge multiplex that always has the option to watch the film in 2D.
Yeah.
Ah, fair enough.
In fact, Cornwall doesn't have any huge multiplexes. That I think the highest amount of screens anyone might go up to is 4 or 5. So...
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat in Carlisle. If I wanted to see a big multiplex, I'd probably have to go over to Newcastle or Manchester.
Yeah.
There aren't any here. We have a view cinema.
But I'm liking the look of Dread 3D. Apart from the fact that, obviously, we don't see Dread's face, or at least nothing beyond the nose. This... it's not like I've
it
read
exists
lots...
from the nose down.
It's not like I've read tons of 2000 AD, you know, but...
Didn't the fans actually kick off with the Sylvester Stallone movie because they showed him with his helmet off?
I think so.
Because in the comics, one of the mysteries behind him is nobody's really seen his face. And they thought it sort of just blew that mystery out of proportion and that. So.
Well, the point was you never saw his face. He was the judge. Yeah. He was not Dredd. He was...
He is basically a embodiment of justice. You can't give him an actual personality because he is justice made flesh.
Yeah.
And that's what
sorry to interrupt there, but one of the storylines I remember when I was reading 2000 AD years ago is that there was a storyline called it was just introduced, it was a new strip, and it was just called The Dead Man. And the main character was burned, scarred, etc. And he was picked up and he was recuperating in a small in a village in the middle of the cursed earth. Mm. And as it turned out, I mean, I'm talking about spoilers, which going on about 20 years old now. what happened was the dead man was Dredd.
Ah.
And the storyline which the main Dredd strip was leading up to was an invasion by the Dark Judges.
Cool.
And that's what happened to Dredd. He got left for dead in the cursed earth and comes back. And I remember some very iconic covers where you just have very badly scarred, almost dead-looking flesh. Wearing, you know, the Dredd outfit when he finally gets back to the Mega City 1.
Hmm.
But yeah, of course, the point was that's the only time reading the comic strip that I remember actually seeing his face. Yeah. And of course, you don't see his face because it's scarred. It's just, you know, scar tissue.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're not supposed to see his face.
No.
I was just trying to...
Leave his face alone.
Yes.
Whilst we've been talking, I've been trying to figure out how many films I know Universal have been trying to do prequels or remakes or whatever to. Videodrome's obviously one of them.
Yeah.
Another would be The Thing.
Really?
Yeah, because
That was the kind of semi-soft reboot where it was kind of like set slightly before, but
semi-prequel thing.
Yeah.
Starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, if I believe. If I remember rightly.
Which I haven't seen yet. And because it's kind of a prequel-y type thing, I'm not so against. But still, it wasn't new IP. And then there was obviously the Wolfman remake.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool, because obviously they had access to special effects that you didn't have access to, you know, like, what, 60, 70 years ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of works. But then again, The Thing, the original, well, what we all think is The Thing was a remake of a thing, the thing by Universal back in the day.
Yeah, so the whole concept of remakes isn't actually anything new. I mean, David Cronenberg's The Fly was based on a, I believe, 50s film called The Fly.
Yeah, 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So,
starring Vincent Price, if I remember right.
Might have.
The I'm original sure. one.
Yeah. Mm. But then at the same time, I suppose the issue is that with some of stuff, at least from the 80s, it's a question of, well, I can understand stuff, remaking stuff that was from, like, whatever you call that sort of period of cinema in Hollywood between sort of, like, the 40s and the sort of, like, late 50s. Is that Golden Age? Or... Anyway, I can understand remaking stuff from them because the special effects and stuff were, you know, obviously pretty much non-existent. But it's stuff from the 80s and the 90s. I mean, it's like, rewatch Rocketeer. And the special effects of that, actually, one, they were better than Videodrome. Videodrome, it does look a bit plasticky in places. But Rocketeer's effects were actually quite good. And this is a guy buzzing about on a jetpack in the sky. It's like, why would you need to remake that? I mean, I think part of the problem is that when Disney originally released the Blimmin' thing back in, was it 91 or 92? I think it conflicted with the second Terminator film.
Which was a bit of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But they failed to actually effectively market it, at least, because obviously the second Terminator film wasn't for family audiences. Funnily enough, The Rocketeer was. They've kind of failed to actually grab people's... You know, it's only managed to become popular since its initial... It was a flop in the cinema.
I remember it was rather famously a bit of a flop at the box office.
It's actually a good film. That'd be my point. Yeah.
I've never actually seen it.
It's actually because it is actually a comic book movie. It's based off of a 1980s series called The Rocketeer that was meant to hark back to kind of like the pulp and serials type stuff from the 30s.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those because they used to be shown on like half-term morning telly.
I wish they'd done that in my childhood, but they didn't show stuff like that in my childhood.
It was weird, because at the time they were sort of almost a joke with the presenters, but they're actually quite good. A lot of the Flash Gordon, you know, things like that. You know, the ships on wire with sparklers poking out the back and things like that. So they were quite good fun.
They were. They seem to capture an innocence back then.
And come on, we've got all these channels now. Surely there must be someone who can just, pick up the rights to, shed loads of these old serials and just put them on. Come on!
You'd say that, but I suppose it depends if people are going to watch it, because, like, with commercial channels, it's always our advertisers going to be convinced that people are going to watch it. It's why I think Sci-Fi's had the trouble that it's had over the last 5 years, both in America and over here, because they haven't had maybe the viewing figures that they needed to show things, because they advertisers weren't convinced.
Well, this is true, but then I've watched quite a few of their movie things on Sci-Fi recently, and I have switched off after 10, 15 minutes of some of them, because they are just so...
The Sci-Fi badly channel done. Movies.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh God, they're
badly done. Mm.
If you told me, way back when, it's like, Paul, there's going to be a channel devoted to sci-fi and it's going to make its own films.
Mm.
I'd be going, oh, that'll be amazing. I'll be watching it all the time. And they go, ah, yes, but most of them are utter crap. And you'll be watching other channels and playing games instead. Okay.
I think sci-fi would be better if they just paid for syndication rights to older stuff.
Yes, like that's what I want.
Yeah, like the serials, but then, like TV series in the 90s or the 80s or something.
Well, you go back to classic Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I first got Sky in my house, back when I was 18, UK Gold used to run the classic series every Saturday and Sunday, like a marathon of just one story. So it was on for about two and a half hours. And it was brilliant. I would get up, go downstairs, make myself a cup of coffee and sit down and watch John Pertwee, Tom Baker, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And now all we're getting at the moment is reruns of the new series with David Tennant, that.
Yeah.
Which is good. I don't mind that, but what's happened to all the classic episodes? Why aren't you rerunning them?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the point of channels like UK Gold.
Yeah, I thought as well. But they seem to have gone a different direction as well.
And the annoying thing, though, is that actually BBC Three shows reruns of the new stuff as well.
Yes.
So that's two channels showing reruns.
But then that's BBC Three, so I never see it. To go back to Rocketeer.
Yeah.
As I say, I've not seen it, but I do know the period it harks back to. There's a possibility if they do a remake or a partial reboot or, you know, whatever they're thinking about, so long as they keep it in the, you know, say 40s,
yeah.
30s, 40s, with some nice Germans to beat up. Sorry, Nazis. You can't just, you know, beat up a random German family. It has to be bad guys. Which are, yeah, shooting Germans. It's like, no. Shooting actual Nazis, not, you know, not just random. Very important.
It could actually work, to be fair, like that.
Yeah, it could work really well if they hark back to it, but don't mess with the time period, don't mess with the setting, just, you know.
Just do what it was there for.
Exactly.
It's clear from the original film that had it succeeded, there would have been a sequel, for it's left wide open at the end of the original film to have a sequel. But yeah.
And then you left 20 odd years without anything else like it.
Can I just say that most of these, reboots that we're actually seeing, most of them are actually sci-fi based.
Yeah.
Just all horror.
All horror. Don't forget the amount of horror films that Rob Zombie now appears to be responsible for redirecting. It's reaching an insane proportion of films. And I'm quite disappointed by the fact that, you know, he's the amount of films that he's gone on to remake. I'm not saying that The Hills Have Eyes is like the most perfect slasher horror film of the end, but its cheesy 80s quality held a certain charm.
They are products of their times and should be left as that. If you're going to do something new, then do something of this time.
We've got too many young, impressionable, under 18-year-old minds watching remakes of 18-rated films being made into 18-rated films, and they're not learning about the fact that things like cassette players existed. I am not happy. Not happy.
Actually, going back to Retroids, you know, keeping it new and everything, can I ask for one thing to be struck off that, though?
Go on.
The Expendables. No more.
Mm.
I liked how, in a really obscure way, IGN managed to spoil the second one for me partially by suggesting that if they make a third one, Steven Seagal would be in it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the first one. I know he's in the second one again, reprising the same role. But the only way you can't get Van Damme and Seagal in the same film, because Seagal hates Van Damme's guts. I'm not sure if Van Damme also hates Seagal's guts. But Steven Seagal passionately despises Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I was not aware of this.
That'd
actually be a really good fighting for the end. The big enemy fight.
But this is how IGN managed to spoil it for me. Because I was like, oh, wait, so that means that the only way that Steven Seagal could be in the third film is if Van Damme's character... Yeah. I'll leave him there hanging.
That'd have been more interesting if they were just fighting each other, I think, to be fair. Yeah.
But then don't forget they're also trying to... Somebody's suggesting there might be kind of like a female version of the Expendables. And I'm like, what, there's only like two, maybe three strong female actors that have ever been in action films? Like Sigourney Weaver and... I'm struggling to name a second one here. help.
Oh, Linda Hamilton.
Yes. Linda. So actually, it might be about two actresses.
I'm sure there's probably more, but yeah.
I can't think of it. I can't. Oh, okay. Oh, maybe you could put Lucy Liu in.
Yeah, Lucy Liu. But then you have Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore.
Do you know what? No.
Charlie's Angels 4.
Oh, dear God, no.
No. Lucy Liu's been in other action films other than Charlie's Angels. No, that's why she gets to be in it. The other two, no.
Exactly.
No.
She has form. Those two don't.
No, she does, to be fair. Lucy Liu's Kill Bill she was in, wasn't she?
Exactly, yeah.
And
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
Yes.
Let's have Uma Thurman. Because she's been in slight action-y films. Whether or not she's ever actually... I mean, other than Kill Bill, maybe that's about the limit of the action, but she has been in a straight, proper action film, not some kind of rehash of a dubious 70s or 80s TV series. Charlie's Angels?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be on... Yes, it did. Indeed. With... I can't think of the names now.
Farrah Fawcett, was it?
So, yeah, Farrah Fawcett and...
So there was Farrah Fawcett, there was the brunette one, and then there was the other one.
You're going to do my head in now, aren't you, on that one? Evil man.
But yeah.
I've just thought somebody else you could have in a female Expendables, Mila Djokovic.
Yes.
Yeah, oh. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I say we copyright this again.
Oh, who is it? Who's in the Underworld films? Who's also been in a lot of action films?
Kate Bessinger.
Yeah, we have Kate. Yeah, have her too. Trying to think now. Remind you, there's a huge amount of guys in the Expendables who've been in action films. Yep. So, but it's really hard to think of women who've been in lots of action type films.
They just tend not to be.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Go with that.
Claudia Black?
Jensen.
Claudia Black, maybe?
Maybe. What about
always Claudia Black, no matter what you're doing. Whatever you no matter what you're making.
What about Famke
Claudia Jensen. Black in it? Even if she's just a voice.
Yeah. You could also have Famke Jensen.
Mm. Yes. Now I'm trying to remember who was the there was a karate star.
I think it's Cynthia Rothrock.
Cynthia Rothrock.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I used to watch her films quite religiously, to be fair. Yeah.
She was also briefly in Xena.
Was she?
Yes, she was.
Oh, you can have Lucy Lawless as well added to that list then.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so we've actually managed to assemble
most of
the
cast.
I may have to just transcribe it later.
Heck, write the script, babe. You can do it.
Just put them in a war zone with the Expendables and their big foes, and it's them against them or something. Like that.
They're not mercenaries versus mercenaries. Or the guys are mercenaries and the ladies actually work for legitimate counterintelligence agencies. And are actually acting within the law. Unlike actually technically what the Expendables are up to most of the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There we go. We got a film.
We got that.
So has anyone else got any thoughts on just the remakes that's been shoved our way at the moment?
I had a special one for Retroid because I'm sure he's going to remember this.
Oh.
Yes.
Rubbing my hands.
Do you remember a BBC series called The Box of Delights?
I remember that because we got showed that at school. On wet lunch.
Really, really good. It was one of my one of the programs I used to sit down and watch with mum and dad after tea on a Sunday and that sort of thing.
Tea time Sundays that used
yes, to be. Yes, tea time Sundays. That'd be quite cool. Well, I did find while I'm doing some research for this podcast. I think it might have been. Stop now, or it might be in development hell, but there was actually a press release announcing that director Mike Newell of Prince of Persia and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire has committed to direct The Box of Delights.
mixed feelings. Very mixed feelings.
Oh, yes. I thought it might be.
Yeah. Come on, there should be plenty of new stuff out there.
There is genuinely new stuff. There's people like me writing stuff all the time, but it's a question of whether or not anyone's willing to...
That was a plea to the studios and commissioning, commissioners for new content. It was just,
Once again, part of the problem is that they have to obviously stick money on something that they know that will sell. And if it's already got kind of at least people that recognise it, then people will go and see it.
You can't always guarantee it's going to sell, though, can you?
No, but I mean, you're more likely to sell something that's bad, that's a remake of something, than you are to actually sell something good, but that's kind of underrated or nobody's heard of.
True. I mean, I can see your point on that, and it's a very good point. But
it's not a very nice point, but Hollywood does it.
But I would have hoped, and I know that the film is now coming out, but considering the difficulties a certain studio had getting the new Bond film out.
Insane. It's Bond. Yeah,
exactly. But you would have thought that maybe some of the studios would have looked up and thought, well, if they're having that much difficulty, perhaps we should be looking at other areas and other avenues of, for potential.
Again, I mean, Bond's an interesting case in itself because of the fact that the rights to the Bond franchise are held within the MGM vault, and Sony owns MGM, but MGM's been pretty much almost defunct as an almost properly working company for years because of huge money problems.
Mm.
So it's a weird.
It is a weird one, and I'm glad that it's been made now and it's coming out, but I'll wait and see what it's actually like.
I think also another thing we have to acknowledge is the fact that it's not just the fact that studios like remakes because it's almost some guaranteed level of profit, but the fact of the matter is that this is amplified by the fact that they perceive that there's a global recession still on.
Yes.
So, investment's hard to come by.
There are several sides to the argument when it comes to remakes. I mean, I presume one of the reasons is they think it's safer because there's already a brand awareness.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the problem I have with all that is the attention span of people and the amount of advertising which is thrown both in the cinema, magazines, TV, music, from music videos, everything like that. A lot of the time, if they just threw the same amount of money at a new IP, that would interest people as well, because there's bound to be people who will see, they'll go and see Total Recall. I don't know why, from what I've heard of the film, but they'll go and see it.
Curiosity, I think. Curiosity more than anything, to be fair.
They'll go and see it because it's been trailered.
Yes.
Mm.
They won't go and see it because, oh yes, that was an Arnie Schwarzenegger film in, was it early 90s or was it late 80s? It was around about that period.
Yes, I think early 90s, yeah.
So, they won't be going, oh, I'll go and see that because it's such and such. They'll be going to see it because they've seen the trailers, they've seen the big cardboard cutouts in the foyer. Yes. That's why they'll be going to see it.
Mm, definitely.
Which, to me, does rain on the whole idea of, well, people are only going to see it because it's a safe IP.
Mm.
It's like, I don't really get that. So it just seems very contrary to me, just very counterintuitive. Yeah.
I also think the thing makes me worry about is that we're getting more, an increasing amount of generations who aren't aware of the originals.
Yeah.
They only know to throw some technical terms in, they only know that almost what seems like a simulacrum.
I don't necessarily perceive that as a problem because that's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
It's like things that happened in, the kind of TV shows and movies that happened in the 30s, obviously, down the road, get either remade or redeveloped in some other way.
There's always going to be churn.
The same brand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I suppose it's also a bit too much for everyone to kind of remember something like, Paradise Lost or something being the originator of a whole load of things, as it were, and that actually everything in the end of the day harks back to major religious texts, sadly. But I don't know. I mean, I know it's impossible in a way for stuff to be original, but at the same time, I mean, especially with this case of the Videodrome, as was said, why don't they just make a film about nanotechnology going wrong? And it's clear that they just want to chase after the whole Videodrome label. But then at the same time, it's going to be a completely pointless label if they do go with the same title, which they probably will, because a huge part of Videodrome is that it's actually about video cassettes. Actual VHS or Betamax. I couldn't quite tell the size when I was watching the film, I have to admit. But, you know, it was about cassette tapes.
Yeah, it was very much of its time. It was spurred on by the whole idea of suddenly, instead of being passive with what you were watching and you were just consuming what you were given, you could choose what you could consume. And that was the whole point of the film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like precursor to the internet. Can choose what you want to watch.
In fact, actually, they'd be better off forgetting any idea about nanotechnology and doing something that evolves around the internet, actually. Because nanotechnology is a very physical thing, whereas what Cronenberg was exploring was something of the mind, not of the body. I mean, he explored the mind through the body, but the initial technology was more its effects on what it did to the consciousness and such like. So, yeah. Why nanotechnology? Nanotechnology is a very physical thing, despite the fact that it's very tiny.
I think the only reason I can see for them going for nanotechnology with the new version of Videodrome is that they're going very literal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For they altering, you know, physical alteration and perception of, you know, all that kind of thing. It's just, no, this physically alters you because it's nanotechnology. Ooh, medical science.
And it's just, retroviruses would have been a better one for that then.
Yeah.
Like in the newborn film.
Yes.
Is it?
Is it?
Yes, but don't spoil it too much. Don't spoil it too much.
It's cool.
And does he sneeze and he kills all the Martians at the end?
Well, that would be spoiling things.
You only see the Martians at the end as well. It's like, achoo! Where did all these dead Martians come from?
Awesome.
Okay. Well, I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have to say goodbye again for another week. So,
okay, one more spoiler then.
One more spoiler.
Yeah, because I've just clicked on one of the links that you sent me and it sent me to a different story. Rent-A-Ghost is coming back as well.
Yes, I heard about that.
With Ben Stiller.
Does he play Dobbin?
It doesn't say, but he is working with the guys behind Night at the Museum.
I really need to work on my kiff.
I think
there will be plenty of time for more, but. Okay. This has been Nerds Assemble episode 4.
The original Nerds Assemble, not a remake either.
Yeah. Good throwing it. So it's goodbye from.
Well, then it's goodbye from me. I'm Paul, aka Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
And goodbye from me, Paul, aka Cookie. You can find me on Twitter at @onearmed_cookie and also skulking around the game jar website.
Okay, goodbye from me. See you next week. My name's Paul Blewett on Twitter, and I also have the website paul-blewett.com.
And I'm Emily, and you can find me on Twitter via ek6891. And don't forget, you can find everything like this podcast and the rest over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk and our Twitter, Nerds Podcast. We're also on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. I think I might have even made the mistake of setting up a Google Plus page recently.
How quaint.
So, but all of this will be linked to, of course, on the episode write-up. So, it's good night, have a nice week, and long live the new flesh!
Hail!
Night! Night all.
Good night.
Flesh!
Oh!